7 o'clock hour. That didn't sound right. We are in our 7 o'clock hour. There we go. And it is brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. Mikey P, did you?
Yeah, actually, there was something that popped up to me. I was trying to make sure that I got the names right of who was actually writing on this. It was not Dennis Dodd. Trying to figure out who it was. They were talking about Georgia and talking about Kirby Smart, and that kind of led to a number of, maybe it was John Talty, I believe, it led to another of other conversations surrounding the ability of these collectives to actually fine student athletes, like we talked about, for off the field transgressions. And they were saying that kind of leads to a little bit of an employment conversation. They might have difficulty in a court of law if something like that were to pop up. And then there was also a player agent that he talked to. It was an unnamed player agent. That said that he has heard of guys that are being fined actually from their NIL for missing class, from like actually not going to class. And I was like,
actually, I think that's
actually pretty crazy.
I don't think that's crazy, because if you don't have grades and if you
can't play anyway, right?
Yeah. Like, is there still not eligibility about being in class?
Let me say this, though. Just because you miss a class doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to have good grades.
If
you want to fine them for like different failing,
I'm surprised.
Different schools have different policies, but remember, they can fine you for anything they want if they wrote it in the contract that way, because you sign an NIL contract.
Well, I think that's the question: is like, what are the contracts with the stipulations? Because there is like, and it's like he was reporting on, there are still situations that lead to employment status, which is still not part of the NCAA and not part of these collectives. So if you are going to control somebody's behavior and control all of their activities, that leads me to believe that you, in a court of law, it would be hard to uphold that if somebody were to kind of hold you to task. It's like, dude, I'm not your employee. All right, I'm a contracted guy. You can't hold contracted employees to task about some of these things they're trying to.
I think you can, just like any other job, you can.
Yeah, you write it in the contract.
Get rid of them. I mean, firing them for being late to class or not showing up to class is a completely different ordeal.
They're fining them.
I know.
Right? That's that. But if you write that in class, student athlete, in order to get on NIL, must attend classes, have a 90-something percent attendance rate along with blah, 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 while wearing the Clorox shirt, because that's the collective that you're being,
the
local. Like, you can write all that in there. I don't know why anyone is surprised. As soon as a player goes and gets an agent and then goes back 2 to 3 times in a month span to renegotiate a contract that you've written, you know what the next step is. The school is going to find a way. It's just like it's just like any other economic thing. If anything that happens with like inflation affects how much we pay, right? Or if you tax a corporation more, then your product that you purchase as a consumer is going to go up. They're going to find a way to get everything out of that. That's the way it goes. So the reality of the situation is that they're going to do it until there is one and all ruling, and there is no the NCAA has no governing over this. The states do. So whatever the state has said, until we get one big federal regulation or one big organization that can regulate the NILs, they're going to go from school to school and do what they can or do what they want.
I'm shocked that you're on board with this. I'm shocked that you're okay with these kids getting fined just for simply missing class.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Like, you're there.
I'm sure it's not like the first time they've missed, right?
No.
It's going to be like an egregious, like, you've missed the last 10 classes.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's what I think it's more in line with. But, I mean, at the end of the day, right, you need to get an education, because if you think about it, not everybody makes it. Now, I'm sure the guys that are getting NIL money, you have a higher percentage chance,
sure,
I'm sure, of being a high draft pick, of making it to the NFL, the NBA, whatever it is, but I'm in kind of in favor of it. I don't have a problem. Like, go to school, get your education. You need something to fall back on.
I don't love it. I'll be honest. I don't love it.
School's not for everybody.
This isn't a free-for-all.
I just think it's, yeah.
This isn't a free-for-all. Look, when all I've heard for years is how, oh, well, you don't, the education and the scholarship doesn't count towards these players being compensated. It doesn't count. Look at how hard they work. And now that, these guys are getting Lamborghinis and Corvettes and, you know, everyone at Georgia either drives a Lamborghini or a Dodge Charger, apparently, you know, the Hellcats or whatever. And they're like, oh, now I got to – but I still got to go to class? Like, no, yeah, that's what happens. This is not a birthright to get paid millions of dollars as a college athlete. In fact, you're groundbreaking. No. So you with great – privilege becomes great responsibility.
I agree with that. I'm talking about legality terms. Like if you went
so
and got a speeding
saying,
ticket.
You're not talking about if it's right or wrong to fine them.
I'm kind of talking about, both ways. I don't like the fact that they're doing it or can do it, and I don't even know if it's legal. Because like if you went and got a speeding ticket, 92.9 can't say, well, we're taking away August's pay.
You can get suspended.
You can. If you're
for a speeding ticket.
Not a speeding ticket.
If your behavior.
Which to me is on the same plane as missing class.
That's not necessarily true. If you're written in a contract and you have in your contract.
Do they have contracts?
They have to have contracts with these NIL deals.
They're not employees.
They're contracted with the NIL collective. And that collective can have ramifications. Just like if I do something outside of this radio station that brings...
You represent the station.
Yeah, that brings down heat on the radio station, I can be fined, suspended, or fired for it. Abso-freaking-lutely.
Let me ask you this, though. All right, so if you are an employee of the collective, but who is reporting that you're missing class? It's not the collective's not going to check class. The collective's not going to show up and say, oh, you know what? Johnny didn't make it today.
Yeah, but
it's coming from the coaching staff, which should be a separate entity legally than the collective.
But the collective, if the collective has it written in there, you have no grounds.
It's just not true.
The
employment status of these players is different. You are protected in different ways as a contracted employee and an actual employee.
You have no true clue what is written into that contract.
What you just said is where all the confusion comes from right now, because you don't know if these are just student athletes and you don't know if they're employees because of all that's coming along with the NIL. So that's the question.
To tie a bow on it, I will be interested if there is a lawsuit at some point from an agent, because remember, now you're taking money out of the agent's pocket too. And there is an agent that will hold a collective to task for finding a player for missing class.
Well, he should find himself for writing a bad contract, because he clearly, if these schools are
what
doing it.
What contract are we talking? Where have you seen anything about a contract?
You don't think that there aren't contracts with the collectives. Why do you think that Billy Napier right now has a lawsuit hanging over his head?
Why do you think
because
he was able to pull the plug on 12 men? Because there was no contract.
There was no contract between him. It wasn't him. The collective pulled it, and that's why they're being sued. They're saying they have a contract. They're saying they're not. The problem is not this issue. The problem is we allowed government into college sports, and now there is no federal regulation. There's no governing body. It's all done state by state.
Why do you think government came into college sports, though? And it was all about the rights of the players. That's why this all came about.
Yeah. But let me tell you something. You have to protect yourself. Just like you said last year that you thought that these collectives, if they want these players to play in bowl games, they should write it into the deal. Now you're telling me there is no deal.
I don't think that's my point. I said we should create a contract.
But you don't know that the players that aren't being fined for this don't have a contract.
You don't
written
know that
into
they
it.
Do. You're telling me it's in the contract.
If it's in their contract,
have you
they have
seen
every
a contract?
Right. Have you?
I haven't.
I don't know enough about it. That's the problem. You don't know what's regulated and what's not.
My point is that if there is no contract, how are they saying, man, we're not giving your money this week?
You're assuming there's not. How do you know there's not?
You're assuming there is.
I'm saying if there is, I have no problem with it. That's what I said all along.
But I don't think there is.
I also have no problem with paying someone, holding someone accountable that's making millions of dollars.
Who do you think is making millions of dollars is getting it done?
Anyone
another conversation.
That has a Lamborghini has clearly made over $1 million.
How many? Because he's leased in a Lamborghini?
Dude, you know how much that lease would be?
First of all, Carson Beck's making $1 million. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's my point.
I think Caleb Downs is making $1 million. I think Jalen Milroe is. But I think the amount of people making $1 million in college athletics is way smaller than people think it is.
It's not as
they
it's
said.
It's not a big
Florida
number.
Florida said for a crappy Florida team, as I've been told by Georgia fans over and over again, I think Napier said yesterday they're going to pay their football team as a whole like 14 and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
Then that's a team that's going to win 5 games. What do you think Georgia's paying for that program?
Okay, but my point is, how many people are on that roster?
Yeah, but how many people are getting paid? Because not everybody's getting paid.
If I'm going to Florida, and all, you know, 75% of the signing class is getting NIL money. I'm not going there unless they give me NIL money too. You know why? Because I can go somewhere that will give me NIL money. If I'm a high enough recruit to get paid by Florida, I can go somewhere else that's going to say, I mean, you know what? Oh, they're only giving you $50K this year. I'll bump that up to 150. I'll bump that up to 200. That's four times what you're making.
But
if it's 20, what would you say? It was 14 million?
I think you said it was
85 players. That's not much.
But you're assuming all 85 players are getting paid. Don't.
I would have to assume at this
don't.
Point in time, yeah.
I don't assume that. I assume that it's just like anything else. It's just like it was in 1980 when Herschel Walker showed up with did he have a Pontiac Firebird Trans Am or did he not? But the fact of the matter is certain players got looped and certain players didn't. I mean, that's how
the problem is
has always worked.
Now, those other players that aren't getting it are aware and know about the players
but
that
you also have to be good enough to find someone to go pay you. And that is also why every school has got 20 players minimum per year turnover in the portal.
There may be some fifth-year seniors right now that aren't getting paid, but I would have to assume that most SEC signees are getting something.
You know, you might get $1,000 a month. That's only 12 grand.
Well, that's more than I got. So,
well, really, you did go to Alabama.
Says the Florida guy over here.
That didn't play.
But I knew guys that took envelopes, trust me.
I'm like, okay. All right. You guys good?
I'm great.
Good? Okay. Yeah.
We're not mad at each other.
No,
we're
I
just,
know. You're just very passionate
someone,
about what you're talking about.
Well, conversation.
Mad, Matt, yes. Matt on Twitter wants me to explain how contracts work to Mike. I'll do it in the break.
I want you right. to show me a contract. That's the point. Show me where the contract is.
When we come back here, we're going in the huddle. Hey, and you guys also want to get, I don't know, some background on who's filling in for me while I'm gone?
Yeah, we could give that. A name or two. I think some will be familiar.
I might have some insight.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, you're going to give us dirt.
You know. We'll go
what do they
the
call
huddle,
it? Give us
a little,
the. Is it called give us a.
The tea, my friend.
Yeah.
We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of the morning shift
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going to go in the huddle in a minute, but as many of you all know out there, I am gone to cover the Olympics. I leave tomorrow, and then
got flames
rolls.
Coming off your Hokas on the way out the door today.
Gone, right? Gone, but not forgotten.
Right.
And she's coming back eventually.
Unless I meet Man of My Dreams over there in Paris, then you guys, I probably won't come back to any job.
You
so.
Marry a Frenchman?
At this point, no,
she said we.
Anyway, now you just made me lose my complete train of thought. So I leave. Then I'll be back stateside for like a day for a CBS seminar that we have. And then I'm off to Eurotrip 2024 with the guys. And we're going to end in Ireland with the Georgia Tech FSU game. So while I am gone, you guys have a list of all-stars.
Yeah, we do. Starting TIFF with Kelly Price will be on Friday. We'll get a healthy dose of Rob Tribble beginning of next week. Then we kick off training camp. We'll get just through next week, we'll get Maria Martin next Thursday, which will be a lot of fun to catch up with her. And then Kelly Price again next Friday. That's just next week. And then I think it flows into Nikki Noto Palmer, fellow Bama graduate. Actually, is married to one of my old teammates, Michael Palmer, tight end. And who's at A-Town will be in with us, I think, that same week, too, in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
So that'll be fun at training camp to get her insight. She definitely has a unique perspective on the team, for sure.
Also getting someone that I've known my entire radio career, actually intern, Allie Mack, who used to be on Star and has been she's somewhere around the radio in Atlanta. I'm not 100% sure what station. But
That'll be a cool moment for me. I used to be a huge fan of her morning show when she was doing country music for a little bit. So I used to listen to her every single morning.
Funny, when I interned at 790 with Steak and them on Mayhem, we were across the hall from Star 94 at that point.
Yep.
And she interned there. And I would walk back to this little cubby hole where we cut sound, and she had like this little cubby hole literally cut out into the wall. I mean, just enough where a computer would sit in there and it'd answer phones for the Star Morning Show at the time. So, like, it's weird when you grow up in a business. I know you're the same way. And in some ways, we've been around each other for, 10 years now in the business, that you just keep bouncing around and the same people. Like, you're always, you're always
into them.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool.
So I know some of these people well that are filling in. And so you're going to get Kelly tomorrow. Who I've gotten to see out at Falcons training camp. We don't cross paths too often, but we've been at some of these where they try to bring all the sportswomen together in Atlanta.
Some of those functions,
you know? But anyway, I think you and Kelly will end up having a lot to talk about, specifically Mike, because Mike is all Mr. You know what? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to rip out some walls.
There's no doubt.
Well, Kelly, she has posted her journey throughout her and her husband renovating their home. And they did it all themselves.
Wow.
So, yeah, but unlike
Mike, they do it once and not three times.
I imagine they.
I changed like one thing in my basement. This guy is just, that's his story to tell. But that'll be a lot of fun. Because I'm literally, right now, I'm planning on like, man, what am I going to do? I'm going to mud the drywall. That's what I'm going
to
do.
You guys can get to talking about that. Maybe you'll end up doing a home improvement show together on HGTV.
I'm here.
I don't know.
You know what?
If you guys do that, give me a cut of the percentage.
So, what cut?
You didn't come up with the idea.
We'll start a morning shift DIY channel.
There you go. You know what I mean? Boom. Kelly will be great for that.
Bam.
Aside from her tremendous sports knowledge.
She wears a lot
of different hats over at Fox.
You got any questions we need to ask Kelly tomorrow? I mean, I'm just so curious. We're going to actually, I think tomorrow during what
I think
would
Kelly's going to shoot you guys straight.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Tomorrow during what would be TB's timeout, we're going to have kind of a get to know Kelly.
Q&A.
A little bit of a Q&A.
We're going to
so that the audience can know her because we're all kind of getting to know her at the same time.
And I'm still kind of getting to know her in a lot of ways too, but I feel like just from being around, Kelly seems like she's very sharp. She's going to shoot you straight.
I love it.
She might roast you if she has to.
Boom.
That's kind of what I get from the vibes I get from Kelly.
So similar to you?
Yeah, but I think she might be a little like, I think Kelly will cut you if she has
more direct.
To.
You've cut me quite direct. A few times over the last 16 months.
Kelly, I think Kelly's a really cool chick. So I think
a couple
you guys are going to have a fun
here.
Show.
Be a lot of fun.
You get her twice then,
yeah,
right?
We're going to at least the next two Fridays, if not a little more than that. So I don't have the schedule in front of me, just those are the names that are around. And obviously, healthy dose of Rob Tribble.
And then Allison. With her, Allison's from Jersey. You probably will hear a lot of the Jersey come out. This is a relaxed atmosphere.
We're definitely going to get the Tiffany dirt from her.
Do you want to go ahead and head it off and give us the Allison dirt before you leave?
Allison is always optimistic. You know what grinds my gears about Allison?
Oh, boy.
Is she a morning person?
Dylan Martin.
Allison is a morning person.
Yes.
But Allison's one of my best friends. But Allison is a, you know, some people are always team no new friends. Like sometimes you want to go out to eat, right?
She's team all the new friends.
And sometimes there's a surprise guest at dinner. And you're like, wait, I didn't know this person was coming. And then I have to, because Allison's a youth too. She's a youth. She'll get mad at me. But always optimistic. But yes, you might go to dinner and she's like, oh, I invited so-and-so. And I'm like, what? Like, no, I don't want to be on right now. I don't have to turn. Oh, this is what I do. This is where I live. I don't want to do all that.
I respect that.
You're going to play this back for her, and she's going to be like,
I respect
that. Don't do it. Don't play this back on me.
It's already marked, Tiffany. Already marked.
But Allison's great. So you'll have fun with Allison. You'll get a lot of dirt on me, I'm sure.
We're going to miss you, but we are looking forward to, you know, getting dirt on you and talking to new people. But it won't be the same.
It'll be fun. So, anyway. All right, you guys want to go in the huddle now? Let's do it.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the morning shift.
All right. There's some little bit of drama, it seems. So when Antonio Brown abruptly left the Buccaneers during the 2021 season, they could have used a veteran wide receiver for the playoffs. This according to Michael David Smith from Pro Football Talk. And he says that Terrell Owens wrote on social media at the time that he was that wide receiver. 2.5 years later, Owens is still blaming Tom Brady for the Bucs not signing him. So he went on a show called Bubba Dub, and he said he attempted to contact Brady to ask for a chance to play for the Bucs in the playoffs, and that Brady ignored him. He said, Tom Brady ignored me. The year AB went crazy. They just needed somebody to fill some holes with AB leaving the receiver position, and I reached out to Brady. I reached out through Randy Moss and some other people to just come in and play third down in red zone situations. He said they ignored me. It's a lack of respect.
You're 48 at the time, dude.
He was 48 at the time.
With all due respect, I know Tom Brady was 45, but he ain't running routes. You know, Some people just have to constantly be in the news, and that is clearly this is the most ridiculous story that's not a story that I recall in a long. You can tell it is July 17th or 18th because nobody cares, Terrell.
Dude, and here's what's funny about it. And he is. He's 50 years old now. So it's just a couple of years ago, right? My thing is like, this is a guy who has disrespected so many people over the course of his career with the whole Dallas Star thing and some of the people he's talked about over the course of his lifetime. And it's like, Tom Brady respected me because he didn't text me back. A 48-year-old wide receiver. Are you kidding me?
Who hasn't played in how many years?
The lack of self-awareness in this situation is what is so alarming to me with this.
And look, Terrell Owens is still, he's still in phenomenal shape. But his last season, where he was only on the practice squad was 2012. His last actual NFL in-game regular season action was 2010. No, this isn't disrespect. This is not acknowledging ridiculousness.
And Tom Brady was a little bit busy at the time. I don't know if T.O. followed that, but Tom Brady was pretty famous for locking in these kind of situations. I think he was probably and you know what's funny? Tiff, you just said, who was it that he texted through? Randy Moss?
Randy Moss,
Can you imagine what Randy's message to Tom was like? Hey, Tom, I know you're probably going to get a chuckle out of this, but I actually have a text on my phone, Terrell Owens. He just, tell Jason Light to get in touch with me.
Do you think Randy would do that? Like when you have a friend that asks you for a picture?
No, I don't. You know what I think Randy Moss did? All right, dog, I got you. and then he texts Randy like 2 days later. Hey, man, what time ever say? Oh man, he never hit me back. You believe that?
You believe that?
He never texts. Tom Brady's gonna go on with Jim Gray next week.
I texted Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Yeah. Neither one of them hit me.
Either they didn't hit me back, dog.
Randy Moss doesn't. The disrespect.
And it's not Randy Moss's job to be your agent.
No. And it's hilarious. And it's one of those things we were talking about. It's like, Tom Brady wanted Terrell Owens to have his number. Terrell Owens could probably get his number. You know what I mean? You could probably hook that up. So it's unfortunate.
This hour brought to you by Zero is smart, lasting, clean. What you got for Mike Duck?
Were the Jets interested in Arthur Smith? Yeah. Were the Jets wanting to bring in Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator? Also, Kevin Sullivan makes history last night. What I loved about the 14-year-old new star for the Philadelphia Union and what I do not like at all about this Kevin Sullivan story. We'll hit that all coming up next. Mic'd Up, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're back here on The Morning Shift, and we will get to a Mic'd Up in just a second. But one more NFL nugget that you might want to hear about has to do with the former Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. According to Diana Rossini of The Athletic, she said that the now Pittsburgh Steelers offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, was one of the coaches that the Jets talked to about possibly being part of the play calling process. And again, Nathaniel Hackett is the offensive coordinator there. So that would have been quite an interesting setup had this had taken place.
I'll tell y'all what I think of this, and you tell me if I'm wrong. To me, this sounds like, hey, we'd love to fire Nathaniel Hackett, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't want us to fire Nathaniel Hackett, so we're going to try to do something that changes what we're doing offensively because we don't like Nathaniel Hackett in this role. So it's, hey, let's kick the tires on bringing in somebody that can work alongside him or as a group or by committee or just to oversee him. That's what it sounds like to me.
And that's
Rodgers was made aware, by the way, according to her report.
Ding.
That's a great thought in theory. The reality situation, I think Arthur Smith is a good play caller. I know I give him crap because I think he played it too safe at times with an offense that he didn't necessarily have the right person running the last couple
of
years.
You and I have had this conversation where I blame Arthur Smith way more than I did Desmond Ridder last year, and I think you have come to terms with it being the opposite.
A little bit. I'm more 50-50 now than ever.
Okay.
But the reality of this situation is I'm going to tell you two things that I wholeheartedly believe. A, Arthur Smith would not have fit this role in any way, shape, or form because he's not going to want to delegate. He's going to want to do what he wants to do, and he's going to run into a quarterback who is best friends with the guy you're in here trying to run over now, and he's going to go off script. In fact, Aaron Rodgers has went off script on head coaches most of his career, which is why he's not in Green Bay anymore, which is why Mike McCarthy left Green Bay in the first place, one of the reasons, and main reasons. So that wouldn't have worked. But I do think Arthur Smith with an Aaron Rodgers-type quarterback and some of the weapons that they have could have been a lot of fun.
I just I don't see it, man. I look at what Arthur Smith was in Atlanta, and even when Matt Ryan was here, it wasn't like this electrifying take-the-top-off offense. And I know that there were issues as far as personnel goes, right, that might not have matched up or might not have had this playmaker here or there. But to me, and this is why I always fall back to it being more Arthur Smith than Desmond Ridder, he's in charge of that. At the end of the day, the offensive coordinator or the head coach is in charge of those players. When I see effort issues or I see guys not doing, you know, doing certain things or not developing in a certain way into the role that you want them to, like, that's his fault.
But how often do we see effort issues? It was more of decision making, especially with the two quarterbacks last 2 years. When I go look at when Matt was, the only time Kyle Pitts played like the fourth overall pick was when he had a guy who could deliver the football accurately and on time on a regular basis.
I agree.
And then there was a drop off, and so when I look at when you got the most out of, look, he got the most out of Drake London without that at times. I thought Drake London had as good a year as you can have with a rotating quarterback, and one of which you at times just made poor decisions. Like, Arthur Smith is not the reason that Desmond Ridder threw it into the spot he did in Carolina. That's not Arthur didn't teach him to do that. Arthur,
no.
And that's why I can't blame everything on him. What I do blame on Arthur is some of the play calls that they're long developing plays where you don't get the ball out of the quarterback's hands timely, and you could have done things to get guys open easily. Those are the things I blame Arthur
for. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers changes that, is my point. Like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers changes that. I still think you have a lot of heavy run, wide zone, which the offensive lineup there doesn't match with, and you have these downfield throws that Aaron Rodgers is going to want 3 and 4 wide receiver and 4 options.
But we saw more of that in 21. We saw more of those types of plays when he had Matt here. I think Arthur Smith is the kind of coach that will lean towards his players' strengths. Yeah. And therefore, I think with Aaron Rodgers, he'd been like, I'm not going to put you into this box when you're a player that does his best work outside of it.
The whole thing with Nathaniel Hackett, we talked about him a lot last year with the whole Sean Payton comment and everything else. Like, I just have to think, I would have looked at Arthur Smith in that situation and been like, really? Really? You know what I mean? Like, you brought in a guy that just got fired because of his play calling and his offense,
questions.
You're going to bring him in here to oversee me or work alongside me. I'd have been highly upset, man. But all right, I got a question for you. What were you doing when you were 14 years old? Probably not the same thing as Kevin Sullivan last night.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
Pretty cool story coming out of Philadelphia last night as Philadelphia Union in the 85th minute of their 5-1 victory brings on young Kevin Sullivan. He's 14 years and 293 days old. Now, this record, a lot of people remember Freddie Adu I guess I was in high school when this happened back in 2004. He had the record originally, 14 years, 306 days. So Kevin Sullivan comes in the 85th minute of a 5-1 victory. I love this story. First of all, I was like, what is this kid going to look like? I got to see this, right? I want to see the actual footage of a 14-year-old kid running on the field. He didn't look that far out of place, right? I mean, like, he looked like he kind of belonged. I mean, he definitely has like a young face, doesn't even have a beard or anything. He's not even shaving yet, it looks like. But he definitely looked like he belonged on the field. He was active. His brother also plays on the team and had scored a goal earlier, which was really, really cool. So I watched a little bit of this, and this is twofold. Number one, I want to get your thoughts on what y'all were probably doing at 14, and if y'all were playing sports, what level that was at, because pretty sure I was playing freshman baseball at that point back in high school. 14, like, I can't even, like, he signed a record deal, $500K, all of the above, but y'all playing sports at 14, or what were y'all doing at 14, because it wasn't this.
For sure playing sports, and I was playing soccer. So 14, you are what, is sophomore?
Freshman, yeah.
Yeah, I was playing. At that point, I was playing basketball and soccer.
Were you on varsity?
We were. Maybe?
Yes, for
you
both.
You were.
Yes.
For both?
Yes.
Baller. She's a D1 athlete. Sure.
Yeah.
So I have to remember that.
So was I. I wasn't on varsity for both.
Soccer for sure.
I was a freshman.
Yeah, but
and basketball? I might have done a combo of JV and varsity. For
Were you the point guard or a shooting guard?
Heck no. I was a forward.
Yeah, there you go.
That couldn't shoot, and I only played defense. They just kept me around because I played soccer, so endurance. I would just track the best player on the opposing team.
Yeah.
Could not make a layup to save my life.
I have issues with this, though, real quick, Squid.
Frederick.
What were you doing at 14?
I was between sports. I had just gotten done with baseball and decided I wanted to. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was in the process of transitioning to try to play soccer, which I played junior and senior year of high school. Wasn't very good at it. Nowhere near the level over here of big time. Nowhere near. In fact, I got called by like a small school one time. Hey, you think about playing in college? My coach was like, That's not for you.
That's not your path,
and,
buddy.
And guess what? No, I
shout out to him.
No.
I've had those conversations with kids. I'm like, dude, trust me, it ain't worth your time.
I'm gonna tell you something. He did me a favor.
Yeah.
I like reality. But I was I was July 18th when I was 14.
Reading comic books.
Yeah.
Pokemon
no,
cards.
No. Pokemon was not out when I was in 14. When I was 14,
it was.
No, it was not. I was 14 in 1997, dude.
Pokemon was a thing in 1997.
I do not remember Pokemon. Well, anyways, I was a high school freshman, so I wasn't playing Pokemon cards. No, we were. I was working with my buddy Evan. We'd go to his farm, work during the summer, hang out. That's where I got Squiggy the pig.
All right. So here's what I don't like about this. All right. First of all, I think this smells extremely like a publicity stunt. I know he's a good player. 85th minute, you got 20 days before you break the record. Like, you have like a, I don't even remember how many days it was. I just said
I gotta
it.
Pull it back.
It was like 20, he had 20 days. No, he had 16 days left before this record was not able to be broken. 85th minute, you're up 5-1. It's like, hey, let's make a headline. Let's throw this kid in there. Second thing is, this contract was made for the union, and this is one of my issues, because when he turns 18, he is going to play for Man City. Like, he is leaving the union automatically as part of his contract. He's like, nah, I'm out of here.
Is there a transfer fee attached to that or no?
I think it's built. I think they're paying him right now. Like, that's my thing.
Oh, Man City's
Man City has been part of this contract. And he signed a record deal as a 14-year-old and $500,000 a year, whatever it is. And when he turns 18, it's like, I'll see y'all later, man. Thanks for everything. I'm out. I hate that, man. I hate that.
If
the union are going to develop him from the time he's 14 and they're going to make headlines or whatever it may be, I just wish it would be like, oh man, we're gonna have this kid. We're gonna invest in him.
It's
not how the MLS works.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know that's not how it works. I don't have to like it either, though. I hate that. I hate the fact that Thiago Almada is not here. I just because it's a good investment.
Going,
you get a sale fee
when
and all that.
You say a publicity stunt, you know, because he's gonna be gone. But it's
right.
Also, but this is also how it works. If he's that, he's that good.
It's unfortunate.
He's clearly that good. If you're going over to Manchester, right? So
I hate it.
And you're one of the worst teams in the MLS.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're. By the way,
ding.
They're getting their ROI because they're getting the pub right now. They're going to get him for a couple years, and then they're going to get their transfer fee. Though there's some money, to your point, built into this where they're paying for everything, and I'm sure that there's a little bit of a stipend that they get at the end of the day.
I think you're making my point, though. I hate it. It stinks all the way around.
That is the business model, the MLS. You either bring in old, aging superstars and give them the world just to be here, or you groom them to go overseas and make tons of money.
I don't have to like it.
All right. Next up, it is the wake-up call. Maybe you have some thoughts on Kevin Sullivan. Or you have some thoughts on Arthur Smith.
Or Terrell Owens.
Could have been a co-play caller with the Jets. Or Terrell Owens. Could he still play? Give us a shout. 404-726-0929. Wake-up call's next in the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is the morning shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're back here on the morning shift, and we will get to a mic'd up in just a second. But one more NFL nugget that you might want to hear about has to do with the former Atlanta Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. According to Diana Rossini of The Athletic, She said that the now Pittsburgh Steelers offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, was one of the coaches that the Jets talked to about possibly being part of the play calling process. And again, Nathaniel Hackett is the offensive coordinator there. So that would have been quite an interesting setup had this had taken place.
I'll tell y'all what I think of this, and you tell me if I'm wrong. To me, this sounds like, hey, we'd love to fire Nathaniel Hackett, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't want us to fire Nathaniel Hackett, so we're going to try to do something that changes what we're doing offensively because we don't like Nathaniel Hackett in this role. So it's, hey, let's kick the tires on bringing in somebody that can work alongside him or as a group or by committee or just to oversee him. That's what it sounds like to me.
And that's
Rodgers was made aware, by the way, according to her report.
Ding.
That's a great... That's a great thought in theory. The reality situation, I think Arthur Smith is a good play caller. I know I give him crap because I think he played it too safe at times with an offense that he didn't necessarily have the right person running the last couple
of
years.
You and I have had this conversation where I blame Arthur Smith way more than I did Desmond Ridder last year, and I think you have come to terms with it being the opposite.
A little bit. I'm more 50-50 now than ever.
Okay.
But the reality of this situation is I'm going to tell you two things that I wholeheartedly believe. A, Arthur Smith would not have fit this role in any way, shape, or form because he's not going to want to delegate. He's going to want to do what he wants to do, and he's going to run into a quarterback who is best friends with the guy you're in here trying to run over now, and he's going to go off script. In fact, Aaron Rodgers has went off script on head coaches most of his career, which is why he's not in Green Bay anymore, which is why Mike McCarthy left Green Bay in the first place, one of the reasons, and main reasons. So that wouldn't have worked. But I do think Arthur Smith, with an Aaron Rodgers-type quarterback and some of the weapons that they have, could have been a lot of fun.
I don't see it, man. I look at what Arthur Smith was in Atlanta, and even when Matt Ryan was here, it wasn't like this electrifying take-the-top-off offense. And I know that there were issues as far as personnel goes, right, that might not have matched up or might not have had this playmaker here or there. But to me, and this is why I always fall back to it being more Arthur Smith than Desmond Ridder, he's in charge of that. At the end of the day, the offensive coordinator or the head coach is in charge of those players. When I see effort issues or I see guys not doing, you know, doing certain things or not developing in a certain way into the role that you want them to, like, that's his fault.
But how often do we see effort issues? It was more of decision making, especially with the two quarterbacks last 2 years. When I go look at when Matt was the only time Kyle Pitts played like the fourth overall pick was when he had a guy who could deliver the football accurately and on time on a regular basis.
I agree.
And then there was a drop-off. And so when I look at when you got the most out of, look, he got the most out of Drake London without that at times. I thought Drake London had as good a year as you can have with a rotating quarterback, and one of which you at times just made poor decisions. Like, Arthur Smith is not the reason that Desmond Ridder threw it into the spot he did in Carolina. That's not – Arthur didn't teach him to do that. Arthur,
no.
And that's why – I can't blame everything on him. What I do blame on Arthur is some of the play calls that they're long developing plays where you don't get the ball out of the quarterback's hands timely, and you could have done things to get guys open easily. Those are the things I blame
Arthur
for.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers changes that, is my point. Like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers changes that. I still think you have a lot of heavy run, wide zone, which the offensive lineup there doesn't match with, and you have these downfield throws that Aaron Rodgers is going to want 3 and 4 wide receiver and 4 options.
But we saw more of that in 21. We saw more of those types of plays when he had Matt here. I think Arthur Smith is the kind of coach that will lean towards his players' strengths. Yeah. And therefore, I think with Aaron Rodgers, he'd been like, I'm not going to put you into this box when you're a player that does his best work outside of it.
The whole thing with Nathaniel Hackett, we talked about him a lot last year with the whole Sean Payton comment and everything else. Like, I just have to think, I would have looked at Arthur Smith in that situation and been like, really? Really? You know what I mean? Like, you brought in a guy that just got fired because of his play calling and his offense, and
questions.
You're going to bring him in here to oversee me or work alongside me? I'd have been highly upset, man. But, all right, I got a question for you. What were you doing when you were 14 years old? Probably not the same thing as Kevin Sullivan last night.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
Pretty cool story coming out of Philadelphia last night as Philadelphia Union in the 85th minute of their 5-1 victory brings on young Kevin Sullivan. He's 14 years and 293 days old. Now, this record, a lot of people remember Freddie Adu from, I guess I was in high school when this happened back in 2004. He had the record originally, 14 years, 306 days. So Kevin Sullivan comes in the 85th minute of a 5-1 victory. I love this story. First of all, I was like, what is this kid going to look like? I got to see this, right? I want to see the actual footage of a 14-year-old kid running on the field. He didn't look that far out of place, right? I mean, like he looked like he kind of belonged. I mean, he definitely has like a young face, doesn't even have a beard or anything. He's not even shaving yet, it looks like. But he definitely looked like he belonged on the field. He was active. His brother also plays on the team and had scored a goal earlier, which was really, really cool. So I watched a little bit of this, and this is twofold. Number one, I want to get your thoughts on what y'all were probably doing at 14, and if y'all were playing sports, what level that was at, because pretty sure I was playing freshman baseball at that point back in high school. 14, like, I can't even, like, he signed a record deal, 500K, all of the above, but y'all playing sports at 14, or what were y'all doing at 14, because it wasn't this.
For sure playing sports, and I was playing soccer. So 14, you are what, yes, sophomore?
Freshman.
You're a freshman.
Freshman, yeah.
Yeah, I was playing. At that point, I was playing basketball and soccer.
Were you on varsity?
We were.
Yes, for both.
You were.
Yes.
For both?
Yes.
Baller. She's a D1 athlete.
Yeah.
So I had to remember that.
So was I. I wasn't on varsity for both.
Soccer for sure.
I was a freshman.
Yeah,
but basketball? I think I might have done a combo of JV and varsity. For
were you the point guard or a shooting guard?
Heck no. I was a forward.
Yeah, there you go.
That couldn't shoot, and I only played defense. They just kept me around because I played soccer, so endurance. I would just track the best player on the opposing team.
Yeah.
Could not make a layup to save my life.
I have issues with this, though, real quick, Squid.
Frederick.
What were you doing at 14?
I was between sports. I had just gotten done with baseball and decided – I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was in the process of transitioning to try to play soccer, which I played junior and senior year of high school. Wasn't very good at it. Nowhere near the level over here of big time. Nowhere near. In fact, I got called by like a small school one time. Hey, you think about playing in college? My coach was like, no, that's not you. That's not for you.
That's not your path, buddy.
And guess what? No, I
shout out to him.
No.
I've had those conversations with kids. I'm like, dude, trust me, it ain't worth your time.
I'm gonna tell you something. He did me a favor.
Yeah.
I like reality. But I was July 18th when I was 14.
Reading comic books.
Yeah.
No, cards. Pokemon was not out when I was in 14. When I was 14,
it was.
No, it was not. I was 14 in 1997, dude.
Pokemon was a thing in 1997.
I do not remember Pokemon. Well, anyways, I was a high school freshman, so I wasn't playing Pokemon cards. No, I was working with my buddy Evan. We'd go to his farm, work during the summer, hang out. That's where I got Squiggy the pig.
All right. So here's what I don't like about this. All right, first of all, I think this smells extremely like a publicity stunt. I know he's a good player. 85th minute, you got 20 days before you break the record. Like, you have like a, I don't even remember how many days it was. I just said
it. I got to pull it back.
It was like 20, he had 20 days. No, he had 16 days left before this record was not able to be broken. 85th minute, you're up 5-1. It's like, okay, let's make a headline. Let's throw this kid in there. Second thing is, this contract was made for the Union, and this is one of my issues, because when he turns 18, he is going to play for Man City. Like, he is leaving the Union automatically as part of his contract. He's like, nah, I'm out of here.
Is there a transfer fee attached to that or no?
I think it's built. I think they're paying him right now. Like, that's my thing.
Oh, Man City's
paying him. Man City has been part of this contract. And he signed a record deal as a 14-year-old and $500,000 this year, whatever it is. And when he turns 18, it's like, I'll see y'all later, man. Thanks for everything. I'm out. I hate that, man. I hate that.
So if
the Union are going to develop him from the time he's 14 and they're going to make headlines or whatever it may be, I just wish it would be like, oh man, we're gonna have this kid. We're gonna invest in him.
It's
not how the MLS works.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know that's not how it works. I don't have to like it either, though. I hate that. I hate the fact that Thiago Almada is not here. I just because it's a good investment.
Going,
you get a sale fee and all that.
You say a publicity stunt, you know, because he's gonna be gone. But it's also, but this is also how it works. If he's that good.
It's unfortunate.
He's clearly that good if you're going over to Manchester, right? So
I hate it.
And you're one of the worst teams in the MLS.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're, by the way,
ding.
they're getting their ROI because they're getting the pub right now. They're going to get them for a couple years, and then they're going to get their transfer fee. Though there's some money, to your point, built into this where they're paying for everything, and I'm sure that there's a little bit of a stipend that they get at the end of the day.
I think you're making my point, though. I hate it. It stinks all the way around.
That is the business model, the MLS. You either bring in old, aging superstars and give them the world just to be here, or you groom them to go overseas and make tons of money.
I don't have to like it.
All right. Next up, it is the wake-up call. Maybe you have some thoughts on Kevin Sullivan. Or you have some thoughts on Arthur Smith.
Or Terrell Owens.
Could have been a co-play caller with the Jets. Or Terrell Owens. Could he still play? Give us a shout. 404-726-0929. Wake-up call's next in the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.